there are so many miracles being done here through the power of the Holy Spirit. I have a hard time saying that, but I'm going to say it anyways. If you've never seen a miracle, you've seen one tonight. Me standing up here teaching the Word of God. Because I had such a fear of doing this. I couldn't even speak in a Sunday school class, in a Sunday school setting, where a teacher would ask me to read a certain scripture. Like he would say, Mark, would you read Romans 12:8 or something like that? Somebody else read another passage, like they do a lot of times in a Bible study. And I couldn't do that. I would begin to shake, and I couldn't hardly speak. I was having all kinds of problems, just fright. I would actually quit going to that Sunday school class for that reason, because they kept asking me to read out loud in front of people. I had that kind of a fear to speak in front of people. And then God called me to teach a Sunday school class in the Assemblies of God Church in Living Waters. And I've been doing that for January. It'll be 2 years. And He opened up the door of opportunity for me to teach there, which kind of broke that. It's like, here's this guy with this total fear of speaking in front of people, and God's asked me to teach. Now, that's a miracle. I'm telling you, God takes the weak things, and he confines the wise with them. And that's where I am today. And as I'm, you know, something else I've got to say about this church. I'm an outsider here, coming into your church, and you guys are welcoming me here. And I really appreciate that. And there's something else that's taking place here that I've got to mention. And I've been watching the body of believers here. And Chuck Surface, your pastor, has got, I don't know, there's something that God has shown him to allow people to develop the calling on their life here in this church. Ministries are birthed in this church, and they're also developed here. Because Pastor Chuck turns this podium over to rank amateurs such as myself. But I'm not a rank amateur. I mean, speaking in public, yes, but I've got the power of the Holy Spirit, and I've got a word that God has put in me. So I'm not just a rank amateur in that respect. But that's really unique for a pastor to do. That's humility. I'm telling you, that is a form of humility, that he turns it over to just he recognizes a gifting that God has placed on somebody, and God's dealing with them, and he recognizes that, and he says, go develop that. Go and develop the ministry that God has put in you. And that's what's taking place here tonight again. And this is exactly what I need. I've been trying to look for a way out of this, and I couldn't find a good way to make an excuse. Maybe I'll get sick, but I know how to But I know how to take care of sickness, so you know that would not be right either. But anyways, finally, I said, you know what? I'm going to teach on this, and I struggled with this, what I'm going to be teaching on this evening. I could not teach this in just any church. God, in the end times, is pouring out His Spirit in all flesh, and I teach this in my Sunday school class, and I say, what do you think this is going to look like? If He's going to pour out all His flesh on mankind, or pour out His Spirit on all flesh, what is that going to look like? And you know, a lot of times we have all these traditional views and things that we've been taught traditionally and denominationally. We've been taught certain things, and that's just the way it is. And God is revealing in the end times, God is revealing that is not how some of these things are. Not all of them, but some of them are not that way. So I'm going to start this out. The message that I've got this evening is, why didn't God stop them? Why didn't God stop them? And what I'm referring to, you guys all got your Bibles here? I don't see a whole lot. Everybody, we're going to go through Scriptures because I think it's important that we see this in the Scripture. And there's a clock. Is that 7 o'clock? How much time? They got an hour or something? 2 hours? Okay. But we're going to go to Genesis 1. I don't know how I'm going to hold this mic and turn my Bible, because I got to read this. We're going to, and what I want you to pay attention to this evening is, what we're going to look at is the power and authority that God has given mankind, and the integrity of God's Word. And that's what the two things that you're going to see here, and we need to pay attention to that. That's what I'm going to try to bring forth out of this. So we're going to go to Genesis 1:26. We're going to go right back to the beginning. And I'm not... Then God said, "Let us make man in the image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, over the birds, over the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So right there, I want you to pay attention that God, He gave us dominion over the earth. You see that in the Scriptures? He gave us dominion. He gave us dominion. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, and over the birds, and over the cattle, and all the earth." Okay, that's the key message that we're going to have to look at right there. God gave the human race, He gave man dominion of the earth. That's what He did. So, according to that, when God spoke that over us, that's God's spoken word. He spoke that according to His word. He spoke that over the mankind, over mankind. He said, "You have authority on the earth." And God, when He speaks a word, He cannot take that back. There's no way He can take it back. Let's go to Psalm. I want to show you this in Psalms 89. Let's turn to Psalms 89. When God's, the integrity of God's word, when He speaks a word, it's finished. It's complete. It's cemented in. It's the absolute truth of the word. Go to Psalms 89. We'll take a look at what I'm talking about there. Psalms 89:34. When God says a word, it says, I still hear some pages going, when God says, "My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips." So God spoke dominion to man. He said, "You have dominion over the earth. I give you dominion over the earth." And God said, "I will not alter." Here He says, "I will not alter the word that has gone out of my lips." So when Satan came into the Garden of Eden and he deceived Adam and Eve, you wonder, well, why didn't God at that point just stop them? Why didn't God just say, "No, wait a minute, halt. You know, this is not going to work. I didn't give you the earth to hand it over to Satan. I'm going to interfere and stop you from doing this." The truth is, God wasn't able to stop Satan from doing this because He had given authority to mankind. And that's what happened in through the transgression. It was that God had given authority, the dominion of the earth, to man. It was man's. Now, all the earth and everything in it is God's. The world is God's. But He has given us, He has given mankind authority over the earth. That's what that dominion over the earth is. So when Satan came in, Adam and Eve had an unconditional, that was unconditional. It wasn't conditional. The earth and everything in it is yours. You have dominion over the earth if you follow my guidelines. He didn't say that. Or if you don't sin, or if you don't do this and that, it's yours. It was unconditional. It was totally unconditional. Adam and Eve had dominion over the earth. That's why God could not intervene because of the integrity of His word, of His spoken word. When Adam and Eve were being tricked by Satan in the garden, God could not intervene because He had given dominion to mankind. Do you see that? And that's why God could not stop all this sin. Everything that's going on, the evil that's in this world today, is God couldn't stop it. Because He had given dominion over the earth to mankind. And that's why that it takes place today. In Hebrews 1:3, God Let's look that up in Hebrews 1:3. I think it's important to see that. This is going to be a two-hander for me, I think. Hebrews 1:3. Oh, excuse me. Hebrews 6:18. I had another verse in there. 6:18. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolations who have fled from refuge to hold the hope that's set before us. And what I want you to see, it is impossible for God to lie. When He speaks His Word, God cannot lie. That's the truth of God's Word. So when He spoke that over, you have power, dominion, authority over the earth, that is exactly what He meant. He couldn't come back. He couldn't go back on His words. Oh, there is Hebrews 1:3. God upholds the things by the word of His power. That's another scripture that we see the integrity of God's word. And that's in, I got that shown as Hebrews 1:3. Sorry, I'm kind of getting scattered here. Hebrews 1:3. Yeah. Who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty of on high. But what I want you to see there is that upholding all things by the power, by the word of His power. And there's the integrity of God's word, by the word of His power. And I believe if God would have taken back, if He would have intervened when Satan was deceiving Adam and Eve, I believe if He would have stepped in and said, "No, you know what? I'm taking my word back. I'm going to take this earth back from you. You guys are making a big mistake. I'm sorry. I'm going to take this back." I believe this entire universe would have came apart, because God's spoken word holds everything together. That's the integrity of God's word. That's the importance of God's word. So when you see the integrity of God's word like that, what's that do with the rest of the Bible? When you see what he did, He could not stop Adam and Eve from doing what they did. They committed high treason. They rebelled against God. They committed treason against God, and He wasn't able to stop it because of the integrity of His word. What's that got to say about the rest of the word of God and the rest of the promises of God? If His integrity is that strong, the rest of the word goes right along with it. We can really trust the word of God. God did not mean for, when He created the earth, He did not mean for Adam and Eve to do what they did, to turn it over to Satan. That was not God's plan. He couldn't stop them. I'm going to read this in Psalms 138, verse 2, "Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name." That's the way God sees His word. He magnifies His word. He magnifies His word above His name. What he speaks is final. And He spoke, you, mankind, when He made man, He said, you have authority. You have dominion over the earth. And it's yours to do whatever you want to do with it. It was unconditional. Now, I'm going to get into what in the world went on when Satan came in, and he seen this unconditional authority. Now, this is something, and I got this through Andrew Womack's book, The Authority of the Believer. Have you ever read that book? This is where I got this from, this message from. And I've read it all last summer. I've studied again this summer somewhat. And I'm totally convinced of this. And so I looked, as I was going reading this, I thought to myself, well, who else believes this? Who else is actually teaching this? So the first person I went back to was Kenneth Hagin, because I believe Kenneth Hagin was straight down the middle of the road in his teachings. So I went back to Kenneth Hagin, and I went through. He's got a book called The Believer's Authority as well, and I read that book. And sure enough, in there he said the same thing, that God had given dominion to mankind on the earth, to the human race, is who has authority over this earth. And we're going to see, as we get into this, we're going to see why Jesus had to come in the flesh. It's pretty interesting. You know, in Psalms 82, 6, it says, I have said, you are gods. This is not, and this is what God was calling. He created us to be gods of this earth. And that's not God as a creator God or sovereign God. This is God's as in the ruling sense. I know sometimes we have a hard time believing we were really created gods. In Psalms 82, 6, as I have said, you are gods. This is not God in the sense of divinity, but God in the sense of rulership over this earth. God made us God of this earth. And I'm going to tell you something. In James, I think it's in James where it says that, you know, the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Where do you think Satan got that name? He stole it from us. We were the God in the ruling sense. Do you understand that? Not in the sovereignty of God, but we were just gods in ruling over this earth. And now Satan is God of this world. How did he get that title? Well, it was handed to him by Adam and Eve. They gave him their title. And that's why we say Satan is God of this world. We need to understand that Satan is God of this world. He doesn't own this world, but spiritually he is an authority because we had a legal right to hand it to him. It was our. It was given to us by God. And we delivered it unto Satan. And I'm going to show you as we go on how that took place. You know, let's go to Psalms 115. This is something that you need to, I needed to see, you need to see. Psalms 115. A lot of people believe that, you know, God allowed, I've just went through that this morning, where God, the reason that God didn't stop Adam and Eve from sinning and handing their authority over to Satan is because God allowed that evil to come into the earth so that we could choose. Even when evil was here, we could still choose God. And that's why God allowed evil to come into this world. That's why evil is present today. And I'm saying, no, it's not. God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. That's what God placed there for us. That was the decision. Satan came in and he seen something that he didn't have, and that was unconditional authority over the earth. He did not have that. He was sent to the Garden of Eden as a ministering spirit, as an angel, to minister to Adam and Eve, it says in the Bible, and transgression was found in him while he was in the Garden of Eden. Ezekiel, it tells us that in Ezekiel 28, 13 and 14. Sorry about that. I'm not going to get into that because it's going to take way too long to explain it, but you can look that all up in the Word of God and see what took place there. But God did not allow evil into this world so that we would be tempted by it and so that we would make a choice between evil and God. The tree of knowledge and good and evil was the why God put that tree in the Garden of Eden. That was the purpose of the tree, so that we could choose. God wanted us to have a free will. Satan seen something a little bit different, and he came in and he tricked Adam and Eve in this, and God was not able to stop that again because he had given authority and dominion to mankind. All right, 115, I'm not even close to that, I went to 118. Psalms. Okay, I'm finally there, I think. Yeah, 115:16. The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Isn't that something? Do you see that in there? Wow. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Isn't that something? God gave us the earth. That's why he gave us dominion over the earth. Again, I think this is important to see that scripture. In Isaiah 14, chapter 14, verse 12 and 14 said, Satan said, I will be like the Most High God. Satan had seen that man had unconditional authority on the earth and he wanted it. He could be the new God of the earth or the world if he wanted to. He could be the new God. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says that Satan was the God of this world and he had blinded the eyes. That's how Satan got that title God. Because Adam and Eve were called, it says there again that Adam and Eve were they were gods in the ruling sense of this earth, and that's how Satan got his title. I hope I'm making sense, but I don't think that I am. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. Good. All right. So I believe this had to happen somehow. Somehow Satan rebelled against God. And as he was in the Garden of Eden, he seen the unconditional authority that God had given Adam and Eve. Satan wanted that. And I don't know in the Bible that I can prove this in the Bible through scriptures, but I don't believe that Satan's power that Satan had was unconditional. I believe it was conditional.
Oh, wow. Back to the basics. This is what they said. You've heard one of the best discussions of what theologians call supralapsarianism and infralapsarianism. It's the same thing that Brother Mark was talking about. It's way up there where they're at. But this is exactly what they're talking about. We need to realize, and I think it's interesting, Mark, you said it in the last month. I was trying to remember, Jesse. In the last month, two men have stood behind this pulpit and they've said on both occasions that the only tool the devil has, the only weapon that he has right now is his lies. That is the only weapon that he has. We need to hear God's word, the entire word of God. We had encapsulated tonight things that people have written thousands and thousands of volumes about. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus do what he did? And why in the world did he tell us to do whatsoever I have commanded you? Either he meant it or he didn't. If he didn't mean it, why did he tell us? Or was he lying? He meant for us to do what he told us to do. You won't hear this everywhere else. You're not going to hear this in big Presbyterian churches or big Methodist churches or big Baptist churches. You're not going to hear this kind of stuff. And one of the very basic reasons is this. They're scared to put it into practice. They're scared of it. What if it doesn't work? What if it don't work? Hey, all you got to do, let's try it. You might like it. God will honor His Word. Randy Clark told me one time, I was sitting at a desk with him, and he said, Chuck, the only reason that more people are not healed is because there aren't more people praying for people to be healed. And I thought, wow, what a revelation. Let me leave you with this to think about. You got a lot to think about. Holy cow. Jesus came to this earth to break the power of the enemy. He did that. Our job is a job now of reconciliation, of telling people that Jesus Christ has come and He's broke the power of the enemy. That's our job. People will be delivered from things. People will be, delivered from drugs and alcohol. Hallelujah. Now I'm delivered. What do I do? Do I wait to get to heaven? I'm delivered. Hallelujah. Come on, heaven. He has given us something to do. He has given us something to do. And it's to do the things that Mark talks about tonight. He's given us a task. We make a mistake waiting for the end of time, knowing that it's close. Bill Johnson said one time, he said, I hope Jesus doesn't come for another 200 years. He says, because that gives the church more time to be the church, to grow into being what the church is. They changed their world in 100 years. They changed their world. It can be done. It can be done. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark, again, buddy. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. It's that basic stuff that confuses the theologians. Gives them time to write about things. Amen. Praise God. Hearts and minds are all clear.
God in Satan's mind. Somehow, he became God of this world. And I'm going to try to explain to you how I believe that this happened. He's seen the unconditional power and authority that was given to Adam and Eve. That was theirs, and he wanted it. And so he devised a plan. And he came in, and he tricked him. He tricked Eve. And now Eve handed over, when he tricked Adam and Eve, that they literally handed that authority that was given to them, dominion of the earth that they had, was at that point handed over to Satan. And let's go to Luke 4:6. I want you to see why I say that. You know, normally when I teach under the authority, man, it just comes out smooth. It comes out. I understand it so good. This is a little bit harder for me to teach. But when Pastor Chuck asked me to teach, it's like, man, you know, what are you going to teach these people? They know so much about the Word of God already. It's like it's really difficult to find a subject that maybe you guys didn't know a whole lot about. So that's why I chose this. 4:6, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you. This is when the Holy Spirit took Jesus up after his water baptism. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, took him up into the wilderness and tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Now, did you notice what he just said? What Satan just said was very accurate. All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. When was it delivered to him? Yep, at the fall, at the garden, when Satan tricked Adam and Eve, that's when that power was delivered to him. It was transferred from Adam and Eve, the human race, a human being, to Satan. And now Satan has become God of this world. And that's how Satan got to be the God of this world. That's how he got that title. It was delivered to him, and he was being very accurate when he said that. Okay. All right, let me go on down here. I'm just kind of going through my notes. So, Satan still works today through that cunningness. That's how Satan legally got the title God of this world, because he legally took it. And the truth is that he is going to be God of this world until Adam's lease runs out. And what I mean by Adam's lease is that God still has given, he gave Adam and Eve authority over this earth as long as this earth existed. And God's going to put an end to this earth at some point. It's going to end. God knows when that time is. The earth is going to end. That's why I say that Satan is going to have authority on this earth until Adam's lease runs out. And when it runs out, that's going to end. Satan still has authority on this earth, and I'm going to explain the rest of this here in a little bit. But he still has authority on this earth because it was legally handed to him. When Jesus came and stripped Satan of all his authority, disarmed him, just brought him down to nothing, took the authority away from him. He couldn't take that authority away from Satan. Satan is still a force here on this earth today. We need to understand that. You might say, well, why is Satan still a threat in this earth today? Why is he still tempting mankind? Why is there still so much evil if God came and stripped Satan of all his authority? Well, the truth is, he couldn't take that authority away from Adam and Eve, the authority that we have given it to him, because it was legally given to Adam and Eve. God spoke it. He couldn't take that back. Adam and Eve gave it over to Satan. Now Satan has a legal right to operate in that authority as God of this world. It's legal for him to have that because we handed it to him. That's why God, even when Jesus came, he could not take that away from him because we had legally, he had came and legally took it from us. It's still legally his because we legally gave it to him. So now, you wonder, as all this took place, Satan tricked Adam and Eve. He became God of this world. He, as we've seen in 4:6, that all this power has been delivered unto me. When Adam and Eve sinned, that's when that power was delivered unto him. And now God is devising a plan now. We're in trouble. Satan has just become God of this world. As soon as he did, sickness, disease, every evil work, bacteria, everything that we see operating in this world came into existence through the rebellion of Satan. Is Satan becoming God of this world? That's why we're in the state that we're in now. So we need a Savior. And immediately God began to, you know, Andrew Womack teaches, he said that even for Jesus to come, it had to be prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. He had to actually speak. God could not just come to the earth. He could have came and just as an angel of light. He could have came as a great warrior. God could have came as a great warrior and just stopped Satan and stopped everything that's going on in this world. But he couldn't do that. And I'm going to show you why that he could not do that. He was not able to do that because he had given dominion to the earth. So God had no legal right to come into the earth. He's a spirit. He had given dominion to the human race. So God was not legally, just, he could not come into the earth. You don't see God coming into the earth today as God himself. He comes through and he works through people. So what did God come up with this plan? What am I going to have to do to deliver my people, to save my people? And he came up with a plan. He said, I'm going to send Jesus, and he's going to be born on this earth by, you know, through a woman, born on this earth as a human being, because human beings have authority on this earth. And that's why Jesus had to be born as a human being. Jesus could have came any way that he wanted. God could have sent Jesus, our Savior. He could have came personally to this earth, but he didn't. Now, this might be a stretch for somebody to understand this, but God had given authority to the earth, to the human race. So for God to enter this world and to do battle with Satan, he had to come as a human being. That's why Jesus was born in the flesh. That's why he had to be born as a human being, is because now he was on the earth. God came to earth. The Word became life. God became flesh on this earth. Now Satan was in trouble because God legally came to earth born of a woman. And he was all man. He was all God, but he also was all man. The Son of Man describes God as his physical being. The Son of God describes God as his divinity, as his divinity. He was two. He was all God, but yet he was all man. He was, now God was on earth legally because he was born of a woman. He was a human being. Human beings had authority on this earth. That's what's going on. I mean, that's hard. Some of us, you know what, we're having a hard time understanding that maybe, but that's the way this system works. God has spiritual laws. And we have to follow those spiritual laws. He follows those spiritual laws. He doesn't change them. So that's what took place there. Remember, in Psalms 15:16, the earth he has given to the children of men. So, in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Isaiah in 7:14, he says that this is Andrew Womack teaching. He said that the coming of the birth of Jesus had to be prophesied and had to be spoken for God to have an avenue to work through. It took a prophet to do that, to speak the word of God. Whenever a word of God was spoken, that gave an avenue for God to work in. It's the same way today. Prayer is just that. When you pray to God, that's the avenue that you open up between you and God for God to work. He works through people. Even to this very day, you don't see God just intervening and coming down and just doing something outside, you know, just sovereignty doing something. Primarily, God works through people. Am I right about that? Does God work through people? You lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You resist the devil. In Mark 11, 24, 23, you speak to the mountain. It says, speak to the mountain. You do something. I think it says it three times in it. You've got to say to the mountain. So God works through us. He's given us that power through the Holy Spirit to do that. So it says that Isaiah had to speak and prophesy the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then Mary had to receive that prophecy and say, Lord, be it unto me. And now the ball is rolling. God had an avenue to work for. The seed was planted in Mary. Jesus, the Son of God, was being born a human on this earth. That's how Jesus came to the earth. That's the reason why Jesus came to this earth, because God had to come in the form of a human being to have authority on this earth.